Welcome to Stop Paying Capital Gains Now, where guests will share their experiences in saving money easily with this spendthrift trust. The real name for the trust is Irrevocable Complex Discretionary Non-Grantor Spendthrift Trust. Capital gains are currently 23.8% on any profits, be it a crypto investor, crypto miner, real estate investor, day trader, forex, stock market trader. Your guest is Sally Gimmick, and I want to make sure that you can learn how to save money easily.
Hi, my name is Sally Gimmick, and I'm the owner of The Trust Is You and a new podcast called Stop Paying Capital Gains. I have a co-worker, we've spoken on her podcast, Marjorie, who helps people going through divorce. That could be a very, very trying time. So I wanted to say welcome. And my first question for you, what is your why? Why do you do this?
Sally, thank you so much. It's a great opportunity to be on your podcast. I really appreciate it. So my why for helping women going through divorce is because, number one, I went through my own divorce and was totally overwhelmed. I kind of waited into my 30s to get married. I figured I had everything set up. I had a good career. I had a house. I had a rental property. We were moving and shaking. And so the decision to make the divorce was really hard. I went back and forth for probably a year before I finally made it. And then once I actually made the decision to go through the divorce, the nightmare started. Like there was, and I'm not going to go into the details, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. Let's just put it that way. Nothing worse than most other people have to go through it during their divorce. But still, it's shocking when you're ready to get out and somebody else maybe isn't or thinks there's opportunity for another chance. And then there's all the emotional stuff that goes on. And then when you just are at that point, the financial heartbreak starts setting in. You know, when you start looking at, my divorce was 30 years ago and it was still several thousand dollars. Now the average divorce is between $20,000 and $36,000 for a person if it's contested and it goes all the way through to a hearing. So there's definitely multiple reasons why you need somebody to walk with you, beside you, that has experience, that understands the process, and that can just allow you to think out loud and work through it. So that's why I do what I do, because I've been where women are right now. And you think you got it under control, and then all of a sudden, chaos ensues, literally, for a good number of people, not for everybody. And so for those people, I just say, keep doing the great things you're doing, because it's hard to get through a divorce unscathed.
Yes. And I we've discussed this in my real estate group. I know horror stories, both on the women's side and the men's side, where they're investing with their 401k money or self-directed 401k, and all of a sudden they have to split everything equally. And like, that's money I earned, not you. That you earned and everything. So I do appreciate you getting on this, because you, especially after the divorce, you need to start figuring out how you're going to start getting streams of income coming in, everything like that too.
Well, yeah, and I really encourage the women I work with to start planning that before you even talk about divorce. Like, you need to be independent financially if you haven't worked for a while and you don't have a credit score. If everything's been joint, you don't automatically get your partner's credit score. You start at zero, a thin file, right? Nothing to report. So there's so many assumptions that people make. That 401k is a good one, that it's my money, I earned it, it's mine. No, whether you're in a community property state, like I am in Texas, or whether you're in a, equitable and fair distribution state, that's still typically considered part of the marital assets. So don't start spending stuff. Don't buy stuff. Don't go wild on the credit cards. There's a lot of mistakes that people make.
Exactly. With investing, I don't care if it's in real estate, crypto, stock market. Things get, I didn't know this about, even if you're not in a joint state, things get separate almost directly down the middle, because courts look at it that way throughout the country. And it's shocking for people.
Well, and it is, and it's, and you're right. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. The same things apply. As a matter of fact, crypto is a really good one right now, because obviously with crypto wallets, they're much harder to track. And although it's getting better, because there is a little bit more regulation around it, but really your partner would have been stashing money in a crypto account for decades now. And you may have no idea that there's that asset sitting out there. And, you know, it's crazy. People invested a couple of $1,000s 10 or 12 years ago, and now it's, you know, $100,000. I don't know exactly what the number is, but, you know, there's a huge discrepancy between the amount they now. Here's another thing with crypto. How do you divide it? Do you divide it at today's value? Because today's value can change from this hour to next hour dramatically. Okay. Or do you divide the initial investment? Or how do you make a decision to divide that? So the courts are getting a little better, but they're still not really great about those digital assets, NFTs, you know, anything that you've got that's a digital asset, even things you don't think of, like your, you know, the movies in your Netflix account. I know that's not a lot of money, but if you, for some people, that's a couple
that's their entire
dollars.
Life. That's what they like to watch. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So who gets all of that stuff? Definitely a big financial consideration.
It's just amazing. I'm very lucky. My parents had a 55 year married for 55 years. And both my brothers who are married have been married, wow, and they're 30 years now. But I went off to Poland. I missed 9 weddings. And when I came back 3 years later, 9 of those nine weddings, 6 of them were dissolved. I'm like, how do you go from loving somebody to hating somebody in 3 years? So, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, in all honesty, sometimes divorce isn't even about that. It's about, you know, somebody was just fiscally irresponsible, somebody had some kind of an addiction, somebody had an affair. You know, there's lots of different, I know lots of people that have gone through a divorce and don't hate their partner. They just can't live with them anymore, you know, and I think in some ways people are just now, life's too short. You know, I can't deal with this anymore. And I always encourage people, if you can get the marriage to work, focus on that. But if it's not, let's just get out of it. Let everybody get on with their life and live happily moving forward. So
live happily and live financially secure. That's what I don't care if you're married or if you're single or if you're divorced, being financially secure is so important.
Oh yeah. It just takes all the stress. Well, not all, but it takes a lot of the stress out of your life. If you're not worried about your financial, you know, where are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to make money? That's a big stressor for anybody.
Exactly. Now, you know, we're talking, you help women through divorce. If my parents got divorced, I love my mom. She was clueless about what was going on with finances. This is going to sound sad, but my mom died. My mom got sick. She got better, but she died before my father did, which was a blessing in disguise because, you know, she didn't know. She knew where the bank account was. She didn't have a debit card to the bank account. She didn't read any. She said like, no, he'll take care of everything. What is your advice to someone who's thinking about going divorce? What are the steps, or what would you tell them how to get it started?
Well, the first thing I think, and this is for anybody, even if you're not thinking about going through divorce, even if you're in a really healthy marriage, is to make sure that you know where the bank account is, know where the funds are. And that's not, you know, that's not that you have to have specific bank account numbers and all that, although that's helpful. But it really importantly to have some kind of a working document where you have a list of all the assets, and know who is actually the account holder. I know so many people who have gone through what, you know, what your family did, and I'm sorry for your loss there, but you know, where one parent has passed away or a spouse suddenly passes away, and heaven forbid, I mean, any one of us can walk out the house today and get in a fatal car accident or anything. And I'm not wishing that or saying that's going to happen to anybody. And I almost hate bringing that up, but just as a good fiscal practice, you should know where the accounts are, at least know the bank and at least know whose name they're in. The other thing is to find out credit cards, especially if you're going to go through a divorce. Don't assume because your name is on the credit card, you are the primary account holder. As a matter of fact, in a lot of marriages, especially if people have been married for a long time, one person, typically the man, although not always, but you know, for a while, it wasn't, women couldn't get loans without their husband's signature. They couldn't get a credit card without a
husband. And not that long ago. That's really what's scary about that.
Exactly. And so, you know, make sure you know who is the primary holder, or are you just a card holder on that account, or are you the primary? Because if you're not the primary, you have no control over that account. And don't assume that when you go through the divorce, once you talk about divorce and file and the other person leaves the house, don't assume if they have control that they are not going to take your name off that or freeze your card or freeze the account on you, lock you out of the account. Unfortunately, now you will eventually get that back because the courts don't go along with that kind of game playing, but you may have months until you get like some kind of an injunction or a temporary hearing to get you to get your finances sorted so that you can both continue to live. So definitely make sure you know where the accounts are. If you are thinking of going through a divorce, if you can, if you do have access to your own income, set up your own private accounts without their name on it. My recommendation, if you live in a small town, choose a different bank. Even if you go to just like a completely online bank, open up an account that's just in your name, and keep that money as sort of your emergency fund. I know Dave Ramsey talks about emergency funds all the time, right? So I recommend for most people, see if you can have at least 3 months of your living expenses in that account. Now, I'm going to throw this in here just because I always do. If you are in an abusive situation, do not worry about your funds. Get out. That is your primary concern. Get out. Contact your local domestic violence shelter and get out because they will help you. They'll put you up in a shelter. It's not the Taj Mahal or the Ritz, but hey, it's better than staying in an unsafe situation. But if that's not your concern, I recommend 3 months. Rent, mortgage, credit card bills, everything. Just assume the other person drops the ball and won't pay for anything. See if you can give yourself that 3 months cushion. Plus, you're going to have the legal fees, which for most people, the retainer is going to be at least $5,000. So you need to have that available for your attorney.
Wow, $5,000 at least. Talking about the being in an abusive relationship, I just had a friend who went through it and I didn't know she was going through an abuse. I mean, she kept it very quiet and, thank God she got out. So I agree with you on that. But the joke in my family, my parents were going to Australia for 9 weeks and my dad gave me all the bank statements in case something happened. My mom's like, why didn't I know that? And I'm like, let me make a copy for you, Mom. Here's for, not that my dad was keeping secrets from her. She just never asked, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And typically when spouses are in a good place, that's easy information to have. And it's just good practice. I think that's something that people should do on a yearly basis. Just sit down together and talk about their finances. Where do we have the accounts? What's been closed out? What's been opened? And just keep that document somewhere with your passports and all your other kind of valuable documents.
And just between you and me, it's shocking to hear in the news, like, Prince, he died kind of suddenly. He didn't have a will. Have documentation. Just like you said, you don't know what will happen. I just came home from a cruise on Saturday night and a huge accident on the freeway. And I don't want to say this meanly, but two people were killed in two separate cars. And who thinks that's going to happen on a Saturday night? Exactly. So it's a scary scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. And being prepared, you may never have to use it, but hey, being prepared just takes all the pressure and all the stress. And if you have kids, especially if you're going through a divorce, you want to make sure that those kids are taken care of, are supported, have the financial option because if you're married too, you want the same thing to happen. It's just in the middle of a divorce, if you don't have a will, it can get a little crazy as to how the courts determine how to split that up. And definitely after the divorce, if you have an existing will, you need to probably change it because if you're married, most likely your estate goes to your spouse at that time. So if you've gone through a divorce, it's a good time to meet with your financial planner, look at your investment strategies, talk to somebody like you, Sally, that can help people deal with any disbursement from the divorce, and then get your will set back up again so that you are, you're in a good place and you have that peace of mind and knowing your kids are going to be cared for.
Exactly. It sounds funny, but it is a life-changing event. A move is a life-changing event. Having a child is a life-changing event. Having a divorce is a life-changing event. Someone passing away, all of these are major life-changing events.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a thing called I'm going to say it wrong now. The Strauss-Rohe life stressor It's something that rates.
I can't tell you the name, but I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
So death of a spouse is the number one stressor, and divorce is the second one. And they score them. Death of a spouse is 100 on the score, and the next highest is divorce, which is at 70, I think. So it's big.
It is exactly true, because your mind is just going crazy trying to figure out what's going to happen next. So I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about this, because, you know, I am involved in real estate. It's mostly men who I work with, but the women who are very involved, it's interesting when someone starts stepping out and learning more things, and not to say they get bored with their spouse, but you're changing while the other person's not changing. And it is a shock for people to find out about things like that. So, excellent. Yeah. I have to apologize. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I have back-to-back meetings today. But what if we're going to have all your information, for people to contact you. What is your call to action? What do you want the listeners on this podcast or anyone who's going through a divorce to know about or to do with you or help you or you could help them with?
Yeah. So if you are a woman, because I work just with women at this point in time, but even if you're a man and you just want somebody to kind of help you get your ducks in a row as to what your next steps would be, hop on my website, www.divorcecoach4.com, and click on the divorce planning strategy session. It's a free session, no sales guaranteed. And we'll just pick one challenge that you're dealing with and help you get a game plan lined up for how to approach that. So welcome you to hop on that call. And if I can be of any help, let me know.
Excellent. One of the things, because you're in Texas, just to let you know, most people don't realize in Texas with the tax liens, you could lose a house in under 6 weeks because it happens first Tuesday of every month. And I've helped two of my clients, their father had passed away, or one was divorced. They didn't know about this. So yes, you being in Texas could help so many people out there with things.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sally. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about this, Margie?
No, just to remember that you are still yourself during the divorce. Don't let the divorce define you, and don't let it get you down, because it's a transition point in your life. It's not the end of your life. And you're going to go on and develop your own skills and everything else and be great, but reach out and get the professional help that you need, particularly when it comes to your finances. That's something that a lot of women miss. So reach out, talk to Sally, and make sure that you know what you're doing with your money.
Excellent. People don't like to talk about it because, in my family, it's not a good thing to talk about, but it happens. I mean, I'm surprised. On Facebook, my best friend from high school, I'm the goddaughter of her oldest child, happy, happy, happy. And all of a sudden she changed her Facebook name. I'm like, Carla, what happened? She goes, oh, I got remarried. I'm like, when did you get divorced? You never even told me you got divorced, not to say something bad about it, but, Chris, her former husband, has custody of the two boys. And I'm like, okay. She was embarrassed to talk about that. And we've been friends since seventh grade. And I'm like, I would think I was your friend, so it just how people handle divorce is so different from person to person.
It is. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time on this. We'll have all your links on the podcast. Again, the podcast, thank you for watching Stop Paying Capital Gains Now. Please like it and let people know, because there's so many different things, selling a house, when you're going through a divorce, you want to get the right price for it. And yes, I know when you're a couple, you can claim up to $500,000 in capital gains. But I've had three clients in Florida who sold their house for more than $600,000, and they had to figure things out. So what you're doing, helping the ladies just understand the path through divorce, that is a very good, people need it. People need to know what to do.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming on to the podcast. Again, if you like this podcast, please like it and tell other people about that. I hope you all have a beautiful week. Every Thursday, 7 a.m., we're going to release a new podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Stop Paying Capital Gains Now. You can find out more about this at thetrustisyou.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get this and every other episode that comes out. We have lots of great stuff coming up, so make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out. Thank you in advance for all the reviews and comments. I really do appreciate it. And I look forward to serving you next week's episode. Take care. Have a beautiful week.